Receive you. Do you love Jesus this morning?
Amen.
That was literally the same level as the first one. Do you love Jesus this morning?
Amen.
Okay, now you ought to get excited about that like I did when Ole Miss beat Mississippi State this year. Now, if y'all will bow your head and we'll pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you this morning for this worship service. We thank you for your word being spoken through these songs. God, straight from Scripture and straight from our lips, straight to yours, God. We give you all worship and all the glory and all the praise. God, we thank you for the rain this morning that continues to come day after day after day. And I know we're just building up for the dry spell, so we appreciate that. And most of all, I pray that you would take your word this morning and, God, use your word to speak to every person in this place in one way or another. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 14, and if all the little kiddos will ready and break, I'm not going to tell you to walk because it's too late. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 22 is where we're going to pick up the story. And just to kind of catch you up to where we are, you know, the Bible is this is one big story. One thing happens after the other. So what happens right before this scripture is probably the most famous miracle that Jesus performed, the feeding of the 5,000. Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that? Okay. So there was actually 15 to 20,000 people there that day. There was 5,000 men. And so we estimate probably you include women and children, 15 to 20,000 people. And what happens is it gets later on in the day. It's 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's time to eat. And everybody's hungry. And the disciples get kind of nervous. And they look over at Jesus and go, if we don't feed these people, they're going to kill us. And we don't have anything to feed them. And so they say, well, hey, just go out and find whatever you can from the people. We'll see what we can do. So they find 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 15,000 people. Now, what you know about this story is that when Jesus broke the bread and gave blessing to the Lord, asked the Lord for blessing and started passing it out, only the disciples were close to him. Only the disciples were right around him. The other people were off a little bit listening to him speak. So the disciples were the only ones that actually saw that miracle up close and personal. Every time I read this story, it reminds me of a potluck. And y'all know we have a lot of potlucks around here. And if you're the last one through the line, and you're coming around and they say, we're out of chicken, I'm sorry. What happens? Temper tantrums, meltdowns. There's no chicken and it's a potluck. What are we going to do? And everybody starts freaking out and Miss Kit goes into a panic and she's, I don't know, we didn't cook enough chicken. What are we going to do? There's no chicken in the potluck. And that's what was going on in this story. They were freaking out because there was no food at a potluck. And how discouraging is that? But Jesus made it happen, just like Miss Kit makes it happen. And I'm not saying that Miss Kit is Jesus, but boy, she can sure cook. And there's always enough. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here we go. We got a louder amen for Miss Kit than we did for Jesus. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Miss Kit. We appreciate you. But what I want you to notice before we get into this story is the disciples see this, right? They see this awesome miracle. They've only been disciples for 4 chapters in the Bible now. Started in Matthew chapter 10 is when all 12 officially became disciples. So about 4 and a half chapters, they've been disciples. So they're young, just like us when we get saved, right? We're all excited about Christ. We see these miracles. We see all these things that he's doing, and all we see is Jesus. Amen? All we see is Jesus when we first get saved. We're on fire, right? We're a soul on fire. We're excited. We're telling everybody we see about Jesus. We're going into stores with our Jesus shirts, and you know, we're at the ball game with our shirts off with the J-E-S-U-S on the other people, and we're like, yeah, man, rock it out, Jesus, just like the disciples were. Do you know how stoked they had to be after they saw this? How excited they had to be. Now, they're young disciples. They're like us. They're focused on Christ and nobody else, nothing else. Focused on Christ. 20/20 vision on Christ. And then we pick up our story in verse 22. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And we'll stop there for right this minute. And let's kind of look at what's going on. First of all, the disciples see this awesome miracle. They're growing in their relationship with Christ every day, a little bit stronger, just like we do. And so Jesus says, "All right, y'all go across the sea. And I'm going to stay back here and pray." Now, the sea was 5 miles wide. That's all they had to do was go 5 miles across. Now, I don't know about you. I've been in a paddle boat before. And I made it in about, 30 minutes. We made a mile and came back in about 45 minutes because we were really tired by the time we came back. So it shouldn't take but just a few hours to get across. And what we know is Jesus told them to go across at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And at this point in the story, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And if you read different translations, it'll tell you they're only about 2 miles out. So in 9 or 10 hours, they've made it 2 miles. Because every time they went, the wind would blow them back. Your Bible might use the word contrary. Every time they went, the wind blew them back. And they'd go a little bit further, and the wind would blow them back. Y'all know how annoying that is? Anybody? Know how annoying? You ever been in a traffic jam before? You know how annoying that is? We went to Los Angeles, and we drove in Los Angeles. And in, correct me if I'm wrong, 3 hours, we moved 1 mile. That was the most annoying thing I've ever been a part of till I found the little hub lane over there, and then we got in that and took off and flew because we had 2 people in the car, and it said, 2 people, you can go. So we went. But it's annoying, and the disciples were annoyed. If you read John's account of this same story, he says that the disciples' hearts had become hardened. So in other words, as they're going and doing this, and they're getting blown back, they're getting frustrated, they're getting annoyed, and they're ready to get across this sea. And you know what they're thinking? The same thing you were thinking. Where's Jesus during this whole time? It's been 9 or 10 hours. This man told us to go across the sea. In other words, just go on across. It's 5 miles. You'll be all right. Go on across. He stayed back to pray, and now here we are. Where's he at? Why ain't he coming to save us? What's going on with this man? What is he doing? What's he thinking? Good grief. Come on, man. Hurry up and get me across this sea. But I wonder how many of y'all are experiencing the same thing in your life right now. You go a little bit, and you're doing really good, and then you get that unexpected bill in the mail. Blows you back a little bit. Everybody say amen to that one. Then you start doing good again, and you have an unexpected death in the family. Blows you back a little bit. You start doing good again, and then the boss calls you in and tells you, "Sorry, you're not coming back." It blows you back a little bit. And you can fill in the blank with whatever it is for you. But we all have things in our lives where we're going in our relationship with Christ and it just hits us, man, and it blows us back. And we start doing everything in our power to fix it, right? You get an unexpected bill, what do? Hey, I got to work more. I got to go get another job. I got to dig a hole for somebody. I got to do something so I can make some money and pay this bill off. Some people choose a different route. They take a little money out of the register. They take a little money from the boss man because he'll never know it's missing. It blows us back a little bit, right? And we do everything that we possibly can to fix it by ourselves. Now, just a second ago, about 4 verses ago, the disciples all had 20/20 vision on Christ. Y'all remember that part of the story? Fed 15,000 people, 20/20 vision. They can see Jesus, man, just as clear as day. There he is. This is awesome. This guy is great. And now 4 or 5 verses later, they're trying to fix it on themselves. They're fishermen. They know how to get across the sea, but they can't do it. And they keep trying, and they keep trying, and they keep trying, and it won't work. And their hearts become hard, and they get mad. Y'all know we do the same thing. Things start pushing us back. We try to fix it ourselves. Guys, it got so bad. Did you notice in the story where it says in verse 26, "But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost.'" Now, 4 or 5 verses ago, he was the Son of God and he was performing awesome miracles. And in 4 or 5 verses, he's become a ghost. Their vision has been so messed up in 4 or 5 verses that they can't even recognize what Jesus looks like anymore. You're talking about 12 people who have been walking with him every single day for the last 4 and a half chapters. And in 4 verses, they don't even know what he looks like anymore. Anybody relate to that one? We try to fix it ourselves, and Jesus puts the answer right in front of you. And you're like, "Oh, well, no, that ain't right. Definitely can't do it that way." And we don't recognize him anymore. Our vision is gone. Our vision is lost. Now, what was going on all around them? The storm was blowing them all over the place. What were they focused on? Jesus who was coming to save them, or the wind that was blowing around them, or the rain? This is so perfect. This couldn't have got any better. And it's coming down harder now. Maybe if I hold my hands up, it'll come down even harder. This is amazing, y'all. Okay, it kept going. I was just checking to see. I was like, Moses, you know, remember the story? Moses held his hands up, yeah. Okay, let's get back to what really matters here. So he comes walking on the sea, and they say, "It's a ghost. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? Somebody's coming at us. They're going to kill us. We're already stuck in the middle of the sea, and we can't go anywhere," and they're all freaking out, and they're scared to death. And Jesus, notice what he does. He immediately distinguishes himself from the storm. Look at what he says in verse 27. "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" So Jesus doesn't come in and he doesn't look like one of the fixes that they're trying. He doesn't want them to think that, okay, you're doing it on your own, you're doing a good job, and here we go, you got it. He immediately comes in and says, "No, it's me. It's Jesus. Look back at me. Focus on me, because what you're doing isn't working. So look back at me." And here's where we get to the great part of the story. "And Peter answered him," verse 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And stop there for a minute. 9 or 10 hours has passed since they first got in that water. They've gone about 2 miles. Why did Jesus wait so long? Why did he wait so long? Was it because he was just having a really good prayer time? Could be. But why wait so long? Could it be that sometimes Jesus has to let us exhaust every option we can possibly think of so that when he does rescue us, we know it's him? Because if the first thing you tried worked, what are you going to do the next time? Same thing, same thing, same thing. So Jesus, he's going to let us exhaust every option we can possibly think of. And then he's going to step in and say, "Hey, remember me? That guy that just fed 15,000 people? Remember that? Here I am." And Peter says, "Lord," this is the great part. Jesus just told him, "It's me." Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out of the boat." And Jesus says, "Come on." How many of y'all are in a "Lord, if it's you" state right now? God's kind of saying, "Hey, maybe you need to take this job instead of the one you have. Hey, maybe you need to move your family over here. Hey, maybe you need to take on this ministry at Christ Community Church, because they sure have a need for people to take up ministries at Christ Community. Any kind of ministry you could possibly want, we got. And we need people to help." And maybe he's been putting it on your heart to step out in faith and help. But you're saying, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out." When I felt like I was being called to preach, first of all, it was the worst day of my life, I'm just going to tell you, okay? Some of y'all will catch that now. Some of you catch it tomorrow. Because I prayed and I said, God, call me to do anything you want me to do. Lord, I'll go to Antarctica and preach to the penguins if you want me to. I don't care. But don't call me to preach in front of people. I'll do anything else. I'll dig wells. I'll milk a cow. I don't care. Just don't call me to preach. Now, you know how this story is going to end up because here I am. And so I told my pastor at that time, I said, you know, I'm kind of feeling like I'm being called to preach. You know, pray for me. So I go to a church in Pontotoc. First time I've ever been there now. I'm in college at Ole Miss. I walk in the church. I meet the pastor. I go home. And I was praying that night. And, you know, it was one of those, like, you got to pull over on the side of the road or you're going to have a wreck prayers. You know, those kind of prayers. And so I pulled over on the side of the road so I didn't have a wreck. And I started praying. And I just said, Lord, I don't believe you're calling me to preach because I don't want to. And so you are literally going to have to call me on the phone right now and say, Jamie, I'm calling you to preach. As I'm standing here, my phone rang when I got that out of my mouth. And I didn't know the number. And I thought, man, this Jesus on the main line for real. So I answer the phone. Hello? Hey, Brother Jamie, you came to my church this morning. I'd like you to preach next Sunday night. And I see you've got to be kidding me, man. What are the chances this guy's sitting at home and God says, hey, pick up the phone right now and make this phone call? But he did. But that's a Lord, if it's you moment. And some of y'all are in those moments. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But he's asking you to step in on faith. And that's all he's asking you to do. Just step out of the boat. That's it. Just step out of the boat on faith. Trust that it's Jesus because he said it was. And do what he's asking you to do. In this case, he'll walk on water. So let's keep going in the story and see what happens. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. So this is the part of the story everybody knows, because Peter really gets a bad rap for not having any faith. You know, he denied him three times. He fell in the water when he walked out. But so here's Peter. He's got his vision back. Did y'all notice that? His 2020 vision that he had, he's back on Christ. And he's looking at him and he says, hey, if it's you, tell me to step out of this boat. Jesus says, step out. I don't pick up a hint that he hesitates. He just steps on out of the boat. He's focused 100% on Jesus and he starts walking out to him. Some of your translations say that he saw the strength of the wind and he became afraid. He's walking to the person that created the wind. He's walking to the person that created the heavens and earth and created him. And he's scared of the strength of the wind when the person who has all the strength is telling him to come on. But guys, we're just like Peter. We do the same thing. We're walking to Jesus and the wind starts blowing a little bit. We get a little nervous and we get a little scared and, oh man, I don't want to get talked about. I don't want them to call me like one of those weird Jesus people, you know, that just talks about Jesus all the time. Or I don't want to do that ministry. Those kids might give me a hard time. I don't know if I'll be able to control them. I sure can't drive the van. Oh my goodness, that's just awful. Those kids are just crazy on the van. They just holler and scream the whole time, which they don't, by the way. So if you want to drive a van, that's a great ministry to pick up on. Love every one of those kids. So Peter walks and he looks away just for a second like we do and he starts to sink. Now here's a part of the story that you don't always pick up on. It says Jesus immediately reached out his hand and grabbed him. So where was Peter? He was right there. And we don't give Peter credit for that. He made it all the way to Jesus. If he didn't, Jesus couldn't have immediately reached out and grabbed him. He made it all the way to Jesus. And we call him a failure. Peter's not the failure. But there are some failures in this story. And it's them other 11 folks that are still in the boat. Those other 11 people that we don't really ever talk about. Those 11 people whose hearts were so hard, who had completely lost their vision of who Jesus was. They weren't even willing to get out of the boat. And you might say, well, yeah, but Peter looked away and he started sinking, and that was just awful. How many of those disciples are ever going to know what it's like to walk on water? One. None of those other 11 ever experienced walking on water. They never experienced the joy of walking on top of the water towards Jesus. Sure, he sank, but he did it. The other disciples will never know what it's like to be rescued by Jesus when you're sinking in the sea. They'll never know. Who grew in their relationship that day? Peter did. Peter got closer to Christ that day because he stepped out on faith. And he said, okay, I might sink, but I'm going to do it. Who didn't grow in their relationship that day? The other 11 still in the boat. When they got to the other side, they were just the same as they were when they left, but not Peter. Peter was a different person because he stepped out on faith. Now, folks, if Jesus is asking you to step out of the boat, it's scary, I know that, especially when it's like getting up in front of 100 people who are looking at you with some real bad faces. Not that you're ugly, you're just like those faces, you know. Couple of you are laughing, couple of you are falling asleep, couple of you are looking at your watch. It's you know, it's a little nerve-wracking. But step out and see what happens. Because I can still tell you word for word the first 5 messages I preached. And at least 2 people accepted Christ in every one of those messages. Just because somebody stepped out on faith and said, okay, Lord, this scares the ever-living mess out of me, but I'm going to do it because you're telling me to do it. I might sink on the way. I can give you some bad messages I've preached along the way that I had to go back and apologize to the people for. Sorry for what I said last Sunday. That was awful. I don't know where that came from. So you're going to sink along the way. There's going to be moments that you don't think you can make it. There's going to be moments where you're going on and you take your eyes off of Christ because you get hit with something that you're not expecting. And you're going to fall back a little bit, but you're going to be stronger for it. And you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ for it. Because the next time that same thing hits you, you're not going to look at it anymore. Because you know who immediately saved you when you started sinking. You know who the one is that can pull you out of the water when you're going down to the bottom. What did the disciples do at the end of that story? Guys, they were scared to death now of this storm. And the very last verse says, they got to the other side, everything was fine, and they began to worship Jesus and say, truly, you are the Son of God. The other 11 disciples who didn't get out of the boat, when they got to the other side, they had a revelation. Truly, you are the Son of God. And they began to worship him. What does that verse say? Perfect love cast out all fear. They were scared to death. They thought Jesus was a ghost. And what is a sign of love for Jesus? It's to worship. That's why I love sitting in the back. I love sitting in the back because I don't like being in the front. But I love sitting in the back too because I get to watch you guys worship and raise your hands. And it's so genuine. Man, it's genuine. It's not like folks are up and trying to be the loudest or something like that. You know, I've been to churches like that before. Literally, there was a guy over here and a guy over here that were having a competition on who could be the loudest saying amen. And this one would get louder, and so this guy got louder. So this one got louder, so this guy ran around the church. So this guy walked up, and I don't even remember what he did. He did something crazy. But then he went back to his seat, and then they kept having a competition just back and forth. I said, man, that's not what it's about. It's about worshiping your Savior because he's worthy of worship. So you want to step out on faith? You want to get out of the boat? Just worship. Just spend some time in prayer. Tell him that you love him. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? If you want me to step out of the boat, I'll step out of the boat, Lord. I'll do it. Some of you aren't even in the boat. You haven't made that decision yet. But guys, I'm telling you, if a man can walk on water, if a man can take the beating that he took and rise again 3 days later, he's worth believing in. He's worth trusting. He's worth stepping out on faith and being a little uncomfortable for. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. When I was putting this message together and I was talking to Big John about it, I told him, you know, it's not going to be very long because I don't want it to be long. I want it to impact you. I want you to leave this place thinking, you know what? You have been speaking something to me, Lord, and maybe I need to do it. And I'm going to tell you one story, and then we're going to pray. Keisha got pregnant with Caroline. I was working at the alternative school in Oxford, and we lived here in Grenada. And I signed my contract to go back to Oxford, and it was July. School starts in a month. And I was I didn't want to go back now. Hated that place with a passion. It's an alternative school. You're not supposed to like it. So I was up one night, I was watching TV, and I was flipping channels, and of all people, y'all are going to love this, out of all people I stopped on, it was Joel Osteen. All right, guys, let's hold our Bibles up and smile real big. And yeah, I can't smile like that, but anyway, that's what he was saying. And he got talking, and for some reason, I kept it on that channel. Now, I never watch him. I don't have a problem with him. I mean, I'm sure he's a really fine speaker. And so he says, some of y'all right now need to step out on faith and do something that God's telling you to do. And boy, as soon as he said it, I mean, it was like somebody was standing right in front of me and said, sign your letter of resignation tomorrow. Now, you know how scary that is? My wife is pregnant with our first child. She ain't working. She's going to school. I make the money. So I wrestled with it for a minute. I typed it up. I signed it, and then I put it somewhere. I don't even remember where I put it. And so the next morning, she got up, and I said, look, I really feel like this is what the Lord's telling me to do. And she said, you haven't interviewed anywhere. You haven't even put an application in anywhere. And I said, well, let's just trust that he's going to take care of it. So we drove to Blockbuster. That's where she used to work. They had a fax machine. So she took the fax in. She started faxing it. My phone rang. Hey, Coach Harrison, this is Coach Gann over at Jay-Z George. We got a basketball opening over here and a social studies teacher. I want to know if you want it. Come again? And I'm not promising you that your answer is going to come just that quick. But guys, as I'm standing here, when she walked back out, I had a job. And I always wonder what would have happened had I not turned that letter of resignation in. So guys, it's uncomfortable and it is scary. But man, is it worth it. Because I have never had a group of kids like I had at that school. Every time I see them, they still run up to me, even though they've graduated high school now. And they want to tell me everything about their life. Love every one of them. Had some crazy ones. But love every one of them. Guys, Jesus is ready to change your life. He's ready to turn it upside down. But he's waiting on you to get past the Lord, if it's you, to Lord, I know it's you. So bow your head. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for putting it down on paper for us so that we could look at it and draw closer to you. I thank you for each person that's here in this congregation, Lord. I know you're working on some. I know others that you're going to begin working on when they leave here. And some that you've been working on a long time. And God, I pray that you would just put it on their hearts right now that not if it's you, but it is you. God, lead them and guide them into whatever decision it is that you want them to make today. That they would make that decision for you, step out of the boat, and when the storm starts going and things get tough, that they would keep their eyes on you. Lord, we know that the only difference in faith and fear is focus. And if we'll focus our eyes on you and have 20/20 vision on you, Lord, you'll take care of everything else. God, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you at all, that hadn't even gotten in the boat yet, that they would take this time and just say, Lord, I'm ready to get in the boat with you. I'm ready to turn my life over to you. And Lord, I pray that you would change their life, radically change their life, Lord. Radically change this church, Father, that we might be a church of worshipers, a church of lovers, a church of disciple makers, a church of people who go out in the community and build it up, Lord, from the ground up. Lord, I thank you and I give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the ushers will, go ahead and come up. And if y'all will bow your head, and we'll pray for the morning offering. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to worship you through giving. I pray that you would put it on everybody's heart exactly what to give, and that they would give exactly that. Lord, you know what the need is, and I know you'll supply it. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.